Ladies and gentlemen, we are coming back to Atlanta.
Right now.
Whoa. Mark your calendars because the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts, but we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in L.A., and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and my podcast Climbing in Heels is back and better than ever. You might know me from the Rachel Zoe Project, or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. Climbing in Heels is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Nikki Glaser Podcast.
Ooh, 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 ooh. The Nikki Glaser Sex Slayer. Here is Nikki.
Hello, here I am. Welcome to the show. It's Nikki Glaser Podcast. It is Wednesday when you're hearing this, or I don't know when you're hearing this. It could be a Wednesday anytime in the future. But yeah, if you're listening to it the first day it came out, it's Wednesday. But we're recording it on Tuesday. It's Valentine's Day here in the world where we're recording this. And I hate this,
I hate this day.
Personally. And we're all coupled up. Wait, no, you hate this day too?
Yes.
I am so annoyed with Instagram. I'm disgusted by all the like love going out for like just my little sloppy lover, my and little this, bunny.
This year it's reels. It's not even photos. It's video compilations.
Oh, really? God. Oh, God. I can't take it. I just do not have a boyfriend who would ever do like unless we were like getting married and he wanted to like make a reel of me for like the event, like which he's good at and does for a job. He's not going to put up a personal post of like. Me,
this
just me.
One.
This, there's no this ones coming at me. I don't even want this ones because I think they are lame and they kind of speak to like a guy who's a little bit pussified, I think, of just like whipped in a way. No offense if your boyfriend does it. I am jealous. It's like I want it, but I don't want it, you know? But I can't take all the posts today. It just really is irritating me. And
wait, so do you want
cynical.
It or not? If Chris did
I
it,
I want
you-
it. But it would be out of character for him. That'd be like him being like, I want you to have, you know, an ass. It's like, well, I can't give that to you. Why are you with me? You know, like why you shouldn't be with someone like me then if that's what you want. So it's like, you know, those things in relationships where you're like the person can't have. So I want it from, you know, yes, I do want something. I will say it is. He's on the West Coast. He got in really late last night. To our Airbnb that we're going to share again there. I'm arriving on Sunday. And today he had to like wake up and go to work. So I'm allowing until, I think we decided noon on the girls chat. Well, then I asked how long until
noon Pacific
when I can have reason to get like, okay, where is it? And then his argument would be, which is logical because he's just a normal person, is why didn't you write me?
Oh, really?
Like, if you want,
that's his
if you
rebuttal?
Want Valentine,
I
would
think that.
I would think that would be mine. Of like, don't do this game of like waiting. If you
it's
want it
test.
Now, write me. Don't do tests.
Yeah, but let's
testing,
not play a
testing.
Game like
do
this
you love
is equal.
Me?
This is not, let's not pretend this is a man's holiday too. This is our day. Okay? Let's not make any bones about it. I know we have to pretend we're all equal.
I'm very romantic, I come to find out. I want romance, as Anya puts on her lipstick.
That's why I'm putting on my lipstick for you.
Yeah, for
I'm
me.
About
Thank
to do
you.
A this one post for you.
Thank you. I'd get a this one if I died tragically. That's when everyone's going to, I'm going to get oh all God, the posts I've ever so wanted in my life when I die tragically. This is such an irony that you get all the attention you love and crave and all the love after you've been smashed in the head by a log coming off of a truck or whatever it is, however you get taken out. Like, that's when you get it all.
This one. We toured the country together. We did podcasts together. We were...
Oh, it would be amazing. I hope I have Instagram in purgatory wherever I'm hanging out.
Won't
waiting
you be
for
so
my sentencing.
Mad if you're dead and everyone starts making your... death about them.
No.
You're just like, I barely know that person.
Well, a little, well, I mean, I would like everyone to be saddened by my death, for sure. I want some people to be like, because I've been saddened by people's death, that because no matter how sad you are, you're making it about you, you know, like,
but
anyone
what if
crying
the person
you could be misconstrued as making it about you.
Yes, but what if the main people, like top posts on Instagram are people that are on your, like, fifth tier of friends. You're like, I did a podcast with you once.
And my boyfriend's on his fifth tier coming out of his eye. I wouldn't mind it. Like, I kind of
fifth
love
of
when
seven.
That I've touched people who I barely know. I feel like most people who would mourn my loss would not know me. It would be like besties or people that have never, fans of mine. Because I feel like I'm a fan of people that if they died... I felt extreme loss of people I've barely known. Or, like, even I struggled with the Bob Saget thing of, like, I don't know him as much as John Mayer knew him or Stamos or, you know, all these people. Yet
no,
I'm just
but
sad
you guys
and
are FaceTime
that.
Friends. That's a real
yeah,
friend.
Yeah, I FaceTimed him for my show. That's the only reason you know that. Otherwise, you wouldn't know the context of our relationship at all. And you probably would have been like, and what if I didn't FaceTime him? Then I'm not allowed to be sad? Like,
no, but
what,
you guys.
Where does it count?
You're allowed to be sad.
You had a mutual admiration for one another, and I got to witness that in person. It was off air and in a hallway at a radio station.
Yes, but I'm just saying, where do we draw the line? Where do we go? This person has no reason to be sad, because this is where it gets into tricky territory for me, because I think you have a reason to be sad. It wouldn't bother me if people made my death about them, I guess, is my point.
We can't tell people how to feel, can we?
That's generous.
Really? You like who have what kind of post would annoy you posthumously for you if you saw someone post it that's like a fifth tier friend?
I mean, I get annoyed by people who don't know someone who died, and it's just like, here's a long monologue about the one time I met them in a hallway and they were so kind to me and they talked to me about my mom. And
all
it's
right.
just like, Irene Cara, really? This you're gonna make a three paragraph thing about Irene Cara who doesn't even know you exist. I get
I
it that she was
that.
A nice person.
I get why that's annoying, because that person is so unself-aware and making like doing a eulogy for, like, they write more about that person than their mom. But the reason they do is because they had a shitty mom.
Yeah, you're
that
very
they don't want to write anything about.
Can I add to Anya's? So
yeah.
that. Nikki, I get why that's not annoying. It would be annoying if the photo was of them doing like that lunge ass shot that Kirsten did the other day. And it's just an excuse to show the photo.
Right, where that's just, well, that yeah, that's what most
here.
Photos of taken yeah. with me are of, and I know that now, because I take probably 250 photos after every show with people. And those photos... I would say one or two show up at the next show that person sees me at. They print them up and they hang them on the wall and they have me sign them. So that's of use. The other ones, I probably think five people at most out of 250 posted on their Instagram story or tag me on it on their Instagram post. The other 244 people waiting for me to die, because that's going to be a great. Otherwise, what are you doing with the photo on your phone? Maybe they, you know, like, the it's not like they know they're waiting for me to die, but I know the day that I die, they're going to go, what month was it we went to go see her? Like, putting it in their phone, like, trying to find that picture.
I mean,
I've done it too.
We've all done it. I've done it too.
Yeah.
Of course.
It's because you're looking for identity. You're looking for connection. You're looking for people. You're an adult child of you're an adult child of an emotionally immature parent, which is a book I'm reading right now that literally any bestie should read, because if you are attracted to the words that I'm saying ever, you probably had an emotionally immature parent. It doesn't mean they were a bad parent. It just means they had kids and they don't know how to like connect with them emotionally. And it's such a good book that I think a bestie recommended me, and I'm flying through it and I love it. And I'm reading way more than one third of it. And wow. It really, yeah. Oh yeah. I'm halfway through. It speaks to me like almost no other book has. And yeah. That's not to say that my parents were immature, except my dad would always go, stop hitting yourself, stop hitting yourself, and go, nin, 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 nin. It sounds like that's emotionally immature.
That's just immature.
He called me a poopy face. Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's true. Yeah, that's it. Just immature. Emotionally immature. What are the qualifications for it if you had an emotionally immature parent? Let me look this up because they were kind of fascinating to me.
Let me guess.
You want to guess?
Yeah. Okay. Because I think mine, for sure, one of my parents
100%.
Is.
They, yeah.
Everything is about them first. Like, this happened the other day. My dad came over to our condo. Matt and I are staying in a condo right above my parents, like two floors above them. Okay. My dad tested negative positive for COVID. He's on like day 8, okay? And he comes over and I'm like cheersing him. I go, God damn, I cannot believe 7 days ago you fucking had COVID and were sick. And look at you now. You're amazing. You look so great. And I go, just for kicks, let me test you now. Because it occurred to me he tested himself and he's like, I'm negative. And he took the Paxlovid, which everybody knows you get rebounds off that. It's very likely. I had one myself.
No, nobody knows that.
Oh, really?
You've done so much research on COVID that no one's caring
let's
about
face
COVID
it,
anymore.
One
no
of,
offense.
One of the three people here knows
that. Yeah.
So I test him. He's positive.
So everyone knows COVID. But what do you bounce back? What are you talking about?
Remember, I took Paxlovid and I got sick again. I got
so you feel great for a second and then you bounce back to feeling like shit again.
Yes.
And if you feel like shit, that means that if you test positive, though, it doesn't necessarily mean you're contagious, correct?
Correct. Although people can give it like it full COVID comes back a lot of times when you take this Paxlovid shit. Anyway, so mine came back.
So what's the point of taking it?
Some people get well. Most people get well.
Okay. Gotcha.
Also, if you're like old, it's going to keep you from hospitalization and death. So mm-hmm. I give my dad a test. He tests positive and he goes, fuck. And I'm like, all right. And he goes, I do have kind of like sniffles that I noticed this morning. And I feel worse today than yesterday. We're sitting there at the table and with Matt. And then I go, yeah. And he starts sneezing. And then Matt like looks at both of us like, are you guys crazy? He goes, put your mask on. You should put your mask on now. My dad's like, God damn it. I'm so pissed. This ruins my day. I go, is any part of you at all right now worrying about like maybe getting other people sick? And he's like, oh, yeah. But that's his first instinct is my day is ruined. My week is ruined.
Well, that's what was wrong with COVID was everyone cared about themselves and didn't care about other people. That was, remember the height of it where no one was wearing a mask? It wasn't, and I even said in my stand-up, I didn't wear a mask because I cared about getting COVID. Give it to me. It's like herpes. I just want to get it out of the way. I'm going to get it eventually. Right. I don't care. Give it to me. I'm not scared of it because I'm gross and I'm not scared of sickness. I don't really get sick. You wear a mask for other people. And that was the problem with our country not being able to get on board with masks is because we don't care. About each other. If you're poor, if you're different, if you're from a different part of town, we just don't care as much about each other. It's really, it's just selfishness. But we're going to go through the checklist because I found it in my phone in this book right after this. And you will be able to assess if your parents are emotionally immature and if maybe you should read this book for a little guidance and a little bit of letting yourself off the hook for some of your behaviors and attractions to people that you have because you were raised with emotionally immature parents, which is not an indictment on them. They were also raised by emotionally immature people because it's something you pass down. Let's break the cycle after this, but we'll be right back.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV True Crime Podcast, To Live and Die in LA. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
oldest girls were sent out into the world, and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by oldest girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am, like I am, where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I used to have so many men.
How this beguiling woman in her 50s...
She looked like a million bucks.
...with zero qualifications...
She had a Harvard plaque.
...tricks her way past a wall of lawyers and agents.
She's got all of these Maseratis and Bentleys all in the driveway.
Is it like a mansion?
Yes, it's a mansion. ...that this queen of the con uses to scam some of the biggest names in professional sports out of untold fortunes.
About $6 million.
Approximately $11 million.
Nearly $10 million was all gone.
Employing whatever means necessary to bleed her victims dry.
She would probably have sex with one of her clients.
Hide your money in your old rich man because she is on the prowl.
Listen to Queen of the Con, Season 5, The Athlete Whisperer on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart's Outspoken Network for a year, and what a year it has been. Every weekday, I navigate our rapidly changing world alongside our series of fabulous expert guests. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Woke not just to the latest headlines, but also to the collective power we all have. Woke to the need to build community with those around us. Woke to how to avoid burnout. And woke to the ways we can all find joy in the madness. Make Woke AF Daily with Danielle Moody your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. And tune in to hear the ways I am working to stay grounded amidst it all. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, we're back. So do you have emotionally immature parents? Here's the checklist. Read through the following statements and check that any that describe your parent. My parent often overreacted to relatively minor things. Let's all just do this right now, okay? Just to keep tally. Pick one, either one or both parents, okay? So it's a yes if it's one, even one of your parents. My parent often overreacted to relatively minor things.
Yes.
My parent didn't express much empathy or emotional awareness. Yes. When it comes to emotional closeness and feelings, my parents seem uncomfortable and didn't go there.
Absolutely, yes.
My parent or parents were often irritated by individual differences or different points of view.
Hell yes.
When I was growing up, my parent used me as a confidant, but wasn't a confidant for me. My parent often said and did things without thinking about other people's feelings.
Yes.
I didn't get much attention or sympathy from my parent, except maybe when I was really sick.
Yes.
My parent was inconsistent, sometimes wise, sometimes unreasonable. If I became upset, my parent either said something superficial and unhelpful or got angry and sarcastic. Again, if I became upset, my parent either said something superficial and unhelpful or angry and sarcastic.
Okay, unhelpful.
Or got angry.
Yes.
Conversations mostly centered on my parents' interests. Even polite disagreement could make my parent very defensive. Polite disagreement, very defensive. Mm. If it was deflating to tell my parent about successes because it didn't seem to matter.
Yes.
That one doesn't, I don't relate to it at all. You relate to that one?
It's like not
your
that
parents
it didn't
getting
matter.
Jealous of your successes.
My parent would get jealous of my success.
No way.
He would be so happy for me, but the next thing out of his mouth would be, you know, I've never had that kind of an audience.
Oh my
God. He'd be
goodness.
Like, that's incredible. I've never, it would always be about him the next thing.
Facts and logic were no, yours would be judgmental?
Right. Like it would never, there would never be any praise. It would just be like, oh, well, you know, that didn't happen. Or they would just point out the
flaws.
Like
if you got something good happen to you, they would point out like there was a, well, it's not that big of a deal because
of this.
It
was just
like they would minimize it.
Yes. Oof.
Facts and logic. That's one I did not ever have to my knowledge. Maybe subconsciously something was going on, but my parents were.
Love to talk about you and recognize every little thing.
You wrote me a text this weekend, actually, of like, your dad is so proud of you. He gets tears in his eyes. You said something.
Yeah, he beams. He literally beams. Like yesterday, I met him briefly. Will not say why. And it was a cloudy day.
What? Oh, okay. I know why you're saying that, but it sounds so fucking suspicious.
He was helping her do that stance.
We'll tell people why later.
Yeah, we'll tell people why like in a week or two.
Okay.
You were handing him a file in a parking lot. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. It was not a drug exchange, and it was cloudy, and you know, it was just like a quick thing, and then he like brings up your name, and he literally, like, the sun came out. He was just beaming.
Oh, that's
just
so
radiates
nice.
When he talks about you. He loves you so much.
Yo, he does. He really does. But it often is like, I wish my mom could see you. And I take that as like, he just wants to show me off, like, look what I did. You know what I mean? Like, that means a lot to me. And I know he would go like, I just want my mom to see you because I think she'd be proud. But there's a part of me that's like, and I get it. If I had kids and they accomplished amazing things, I would desperately want my dad to see it, to be like, Dad, look what I made that did this thing. You know, there's a little
because you want the praise. I would.
I want the praise of like, look at this amazing child you made.
And
that's also
proud
why
of me?
I think when people go, it's a little bit of my worry about adopting is that my parents, if the kid is amazing, they'll be like, well, wherever you got the fucking kid, good job.
That's what my parents would
child.
Say.
Yeah,
that's
like it had nothing to do with you.
Right.
But if it's your blood, like anytime there's anything wrong with like anything off going on with nieces and nephews, it's like, well, maybe that's Matt's side of the family had some, you know, maybe they, it's
like
always
it's not you.
It's never their blood. Like we can even help our genes to begin with, like whatever DNA. It's, and I mean, that's not a conversation that really comes up ever. But whenever there's like a behavioral problem, it's like, you guys weren't like that. And, you know, maybe it's just something that, you know, the other side of the family, like I could just tell if I had adopted kids, there would be a lot of, well, she shouldn't have adopted. That kid's kind of going crazy at this Bennigan's.
Yes. Okay. Conversely, Matt's mom does this thing all the time where she's like, well, your talent is because of Jesus. And he's like, my talent is not anything to do with
thing.
Jesus.
Oh, God.
Did
yes.
Jesus
if your parents.
Lessons?
That's so,
She's always like, well, you got to thank Jesus for all that. Well, he's like, do I? Could you tell
me
once?
She's not wrong because you can't really attribute, nothing you do is you. You guys know I don't believe in free will. Nothing, you don't choose your thoughts. You don't choose your motivations. If you're someone who like practiced guitar a lot and became a virtuoso, you didn't choose the brain that was, you were born with to be good at guitar. I know it feels like you're like, but I chose every day to play music. You didn't. You just got born with a brain that is good at practicing and is good at motivation.
She wants to take away any kind of talent. It's not.
Well, so do I. But
yours.
I want to give it to science. She wants to give it to a guy on a cross.
I'm sure he'd rather give it to science.
But yeah. It was deflating to tell me. Okay, so facts and logic were no match for my parents' opinions. My parent wasn't self-reflective and rarely looked at his or her role in a problem. My parents tended to be black and white, be a black and white thinker and unreceptive to new ideas. Okay, so if you listen to this checklist, listener, and even one of those statements you said yes to, you could potentially be a child of a emotionally immature parent, because even one of those is enough to damage a kid in a way that will lead to lots of behavioral problems later on in your life that will fuck up your life forever until you learn to like go against that. And it's not because your parents are bad. I have the best parents in the world, but they were 25 when they had me, and they had parents that never listened to them, weren't around, alcoholics. There's no way they were equipped to handle a little sensitive child's emotions all the time. And if I had a child, I would also probably be emotionally immature for that child as well, because we're all flawed. So this isn't a book that you buy and then you like hate your mom. It like, you don't even have to tell your mom about it, even though your mom might listen to your podcast and hear you go off this checklist and say, I was very hurt by that checklist. When have I been defensive about anything? I always support you. No.
I got a total of 5, which I thought it would be more like 20, but I got 5.
Yeah, I got like, yeah, I got enough where I said, okay. Then you read the book and you just read the patterns of like people are people pleasers. They put their own feelings aside for someone else. I mean, it's all a codependency. It's all kind of adult. Also, this could all fit for adult children of alcoholics. But I think this is a more helpful thing, because I think a lot of kids hear, oh, I'm not going to read about being an adult child of an alcoholic because my parent didn't drink, mm-hmm. or my parent was never drunk around me. They can't associate their parent, or their parent hasn't qualified as an alcoholic to them, and so they don't know. This is like something to wrap your head around so you can know it's not your fault, whatever it is that you are and do, which I think is most of therapy, is learning it's not your fault. And then when you're able to think of things as not your fault, I think you're able to get over them more. Like, Anya, you were suffering this weekend with like a thing, and you're like, as long as you like let yourself off the hook for it, because you were, without getting in specifics, you were saying like, I realize I'm just fucking crazy sometimes. Yeah. And like, I can't control my thoughts around this thing. How did you feel like that was acceptance or that was judgmental of like, you're crazy?
In the moment, it felt heartbreaking. Like, God, I work so hard on myself and I'm just as crazy as, you know, I'm around my family right now. So I get caught up in the toxic cycles of like an old dynamic. I'm sure a lot of people can relate. So I felt heartbroken. And then I was like, it's okay, because I do have so many tools. And when I take one step back from these people, a loving step back, I am not crazy anymore. Like, right. I am temporarily insane. And someone said something to me so great. I've already told you this, Nikki, but Noah, maybe I haven't told you. I've been holding on to this adage. Boundaries are the distance between me and you where I can love myself and still love you. So I have these like loving boundaries. People don't seem to like them, but I have them so that I can be nice to you and myself. And so I can still love you.
Yeah. You know,
I have a thing. I don't love people staying over at my house for more than 4 days. 4 days max.
Yes.
And that is a boundary.
Oh, my God. Well, Chris and I do this thing where, like, I only want to see him if he's in a good mood. That I can nurture. You know, like, if he's in a bad mood and needs to talk about things, oh, babe, I'm there for you. But if you're tired, hungry, let's go. I mean, if you're, what's it called? Dirt or something?
Halt.
Halt. It's the acronym HALT.
A dick. Irritable.
Yeah, dick.
Restless.
Yeah. HALT. Hungry, angry, lonely, tired. That's usually what people are like, dicks.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of times where I'm just like, I can hear that he's not in the best mood, and I know the kind of mood he's in where he wants to talk about it and like has to work through something. And I know the type of mood where he's just doesn't want things aren't going to go well between us. And I also have those moods too, where I'm like, I don't want to hurt your feelings, but don't come over tonight, because this isn't going to move our needle forward in our relationship. This is only going to take away. But there's the illusion of like being together that gives people, if you're not with the person, they think you don't love them. But it's like, I love you. That's why I'm not hanging out with you tonight, is because I want to maintain how I like you, because I am walking on a tightrope of my own emotions. I'm going to fall off it and I'm going to hurt you. I'm going to hurt you.
I
need to protect you from me. Yes.
I'm a toxic train in Ohio or wherever that was that exploded.
Oh, yeah, where they're like burning.
Stay away.
Fuels there. Yeah, it's terrifying. Yeah,
I, as someone who is definitely a crazy person and can have my moods impact everything around me like an infection, I have to quarantine myself from people.
Yes.
I should put on masks when I'm in a sour mood. And it sucks sometimes because you got to record a podcast or you got to fucking... podcasts are the hardest thing for me because I don't put on a face for a podcast. If I did, it would show up that I was putting on a face. A podcast is some, if I was, you know, in a bad mood today and had to do this podcast, you would sense it. There would be like a fucking, you know, yesterday's podcast. I was sad. But if I was shooting a commercial, I could have snapped out of it because everything's a facade and it's like, welcome to Holiday Inn Express or whatever the fuck I'm promoting. I can put a cape over my feelings, but if I'm in a situation like a podcast where it's like I'm myself and there's no, I don't even know what an edifice would be here if I were to put one on. Believe me, I've put some on before on rough episodes that we've had to just because of relationship things going on. But if it's just us three, I'm not going to be able to put that. I don't even know what that would be to like be fake around you guys and be like, everything's great this morning. Like, it just doesn't. So that's where I get into rocky territory is when I'm forced to do things where I get to be myself and I have to just, and it's almost there are days I would choose not to do a podcast because I'm in a bad mood, but you have to go to work, or you would choose not to go to your SSDJ, your soul sucking day job, because you're in a bad mood. You should be able to call in sick mentally to things. I don't think we're ever close to that happening, but I really resent that everyone gets to be like, oh, I have a cold today. And I can't be like, I want to jump off my balcony today. So I don't think I can make it to my dentist appointment. Like, I want to be able to say that, which I did say to my...
At this point, your dentist wouldn't be shocked.
My dentist would know. He'd be like, with that amount of work that you need to have done.
Nikki, shut up.
No, I'm getting bonding I'm bonding with my dentist. It's in my calendar as dentist bonding. Because I wrote it in tomorrow. I'm so excited
to meet over a campfire.
Yeah, we're going to hold hands and talk about our emotionally unavailable parents. We're going to do trust falls out in the woods. So I'm bonding with my dentist tomorrow, who's Scott Bakula's nephew. No, just name drop. No big deal. Dr. Bakula, shout out. Really? Yeah, he really is. But yeah, it's just, though, I wish that you could... I've called in depressed to things before, but I always do it when I know the person is going to be very understanding and like kind of gets it. And it also, talk about bonding. If you tell someone that you're depressed and you like open up to them about that, like, I can't make it today, like I'm depressed. Man, is that like just I did it for my vocal coach the other day. Like, I was like, I'm too depressed to meet. I'm sorry. I'm not going to lie and say anything else. Like, I'm having horrible thoughts today. And the next session we were like, all we did was talk about that kind of stuff and like bonded so much because it was like, instead of me being like, I'm busy or I don't feel very good today, it just cut through the shit. And if we could be more open about being depressed or those thoughts, I wouldn't feel like such a weirdo sometimes. Cause it seems like I have a chronic disease that's just like, go for a walk around the block. And that's how you solve it, Nikki. And it's just like, well, this, if I could do that, I would. I can't walk around. Like, you know what I mean? I just don't think other people, cancer doesn't get this kind of like, you know, just try harder. Make your bed every morning. Like, tell a cancer patient that. Like, that's the kind of thing I feel like I'm up against some days, is like an actual physical illness. But it just, you know, and everyone knows this about mental illness, is that it doesn't get the same respect that physical illness does because it seems like a choice. But I'm just like, the more and more I suffer with it, and it is stuff that there's also obviously stuff I can do. Like, sometimes people get lung cancer and you go, why are you still smoking? And it's like, okay, yeah, put down the cigarettes. There's things I can definitely do and try to do. But I do wish that we can get to a point as a society where you could call in sick or you can also just make say that you were molested, and then people go, oh, okay, sorry, didn't know that. And you could be like, yeah, that's why I was late or whatever. It's a new joke I'm working on in my act, but I think you should casually be able to say you were molested and have people
forgive you.
Yeah, well, yeah, if you were molested, I think it should be as easy to admit as saying I had my hair done, like, or as shameful, I guess, as being like I had Botox or something. I don't know, or like my car hydroplaned, and like sometimes you feel at fault for the amount of shame you have for getting in a car accident. Because that's, some people do have shame about car accidents. That's what I mean. Like a little bit, maybe, which I think you should have zero, but we'll never expect that out of anyone because we're a country of shame. But being molested should seem like you just got hit by a car or something. Like it's a car accident and you had the right of way to walk and you didn't know. But instead, because if someone was like, I'm sorry, if they kept being late for meetings or Zoom meetings or something, and they were like, I'm sorry, I was molested as a kid, I'm really fucked, I'd be like, oh, okay, yeah. Well, I'm glad you even can function. Or like if they were like, my dad beat me severely. Like I think people should be able to like kind of give their mental illness history or like their child abuse history without it being so heavy. I wish.
I definitely but it will never have get seen, there. Since you started talking more about Botox and filler, I've seen way more people start doing that too. I'm not saying you started it, but no, you were so open about it like 5 years ago or maybe even longer, but it was not cool to talk about that openly. I feel like it's still something that people hide.
Yeah, but people still, keep it very secret.
But that's a really good comparison, those two things. Like, people have less shame than they did 5-10 years ago about admitting they had Botox. Well, less.
And I always compare Botox to getting your hair dyed. Like, it used to be shameful to get your hair highlighted. Like, women used to, like, hide, like, go secretly at night. Like, they wouldn't talk about it.
It was considered rude to say, did you get highlights?
Yes, exactly. And that we don't even know that time.
Is that your natural? Although, you know, that's a Resties neg might in the remember. Game.
What?
In the book, The Game, that's a neg. Like, that's
because that was written in, like, 1977, that book. But it wouldn't be a neg now because you'd be like, of course it's not natural. You'd take out your hair and be like, no, it's from a woman in India. This isn't mine. I would like things to be a little bit more just transparent. I guess just honest and transparent. Than they are. But it's just, you know, not that way. Yesterday I was at a very high pressure event all day long. I was at a Cynthia Rowley fashion show because it's Fashion Week in New York, which is my least favorite week. I forgot that it was that. Do you guys remember Fashion Week when you lived in New York?
Yes. And just when, like, you and I lived together, our street was a major hub for it because there are tons of galleries and they would have shows on 22nd.
It's just like and it's just like an alien starship lands in Manhattan and lets off a bunch of 7 foot tall people,
cats,
7 foot tall, lengthy vertical cats
with
and
big
they
lips.
Walk around. Yes, and they truly look. So I mean, I saw a model yesterday at this thing, and she was probably 6 foot two. Very thin. And I was like, wow. And I saw her taking pictures. She was stunning, had a gorgeous body, gorgeous face. But then I was like, oh, she's the awkward tall girl in high school. These models are not like hot in high school. She was like on the volleyball team, maybe, was probably a really good social studies student. Like this girl, I just saw her for like, she's this supermodel. Like, I don't know about super, but you know, she's special. She's a special model. And, She wasn't the Super Bowl of models. She was like the Orange Bowl of models or whatever. Doritos Bowl. And she, but I just saw she's like a high school dork, which most models are like kind of dorks, you know? But I was at this event and it was a bunch of comedians. Ego from SNL, who's hilarious. Rosebud Baker, Rachel Feinstein, Claudia O'Sheary, I want to say. She's Girl With No Job on Instagram. Esther Kuh, Michelle Buteau, Arden Mirren. And we were all doing this the show where we got like, we went, I went to a fitting yesterday. We have two looks, one for our stand-up set, which was 5 minutes long, which by the way, if you do stand-up, like no one knows how to do a 5 minute set. What? We were all like, what is that even? Like you would just go out and say, hi, my name is Nikki and I'm an alcoholic. Like, what do you even say? For a 5 minute set, it's like unheard. I haven't done 5 minutes since I did the Tonight Show. I'm like, I was making jokes with Rachel. I'm like, you have to submit your set to Michael Cox by 4 p.m. like for standards and practices, because it was like, that's who, you know, get you on the Tonight Show. But it was just like, it was a short amount of time, but it wasn't about comedy. It was more, but Cynthia Rowley kept being like, no, it's about the comedy. It's not about the fashion. We're like, no, we are all wearing outfits we would never fucking wear outside of this. We looked amazing. The fashion, I love Cynthia Rowley. Thank God. I got asked to do a fashion show earlier this year that was happening in Paris that a lot of comedians did. You can look it up, but I'm not going to say who it was. I turned it down because I thought the designs were so hideous. Like, I couldn't find one thing in this collection, and you will know it when you see it. When you go see, find the comedians that did this fashion show. I don't know how this person, I'm sorry, art is subjective, but not this art. It is objectively bad. I don't know how anyone would ever wear any of this shit.
It's so, anyway, expensive, isn't
and it was all like the coolest guys in comedy too, which made me laugh that they have to wear these ridiculous outfits, even though they're like bad boys of comedy. And I can't wait to see a couple of them to mock them for it, because they must have felt so uncomfortable doing this fashion show. But I got asked, I turned that down because I was like, I don't want to wear any of these clothes. Cynthia Rowley, my God, is like one of my favorite designers anyway. She's like someone whose dresses I wear all the time. And so I was so excited, got to meet her. I also saw her daughter on The Bachelor.
Yes,
her daughter Kit was on one of the Bachelor. So I liked her daughter. So I knew her mom would be cool. She was so fucking cool, so normal, so nice. Someone I'm like literally truly could be friends with. I don't say that about everyone. Like if she was just like a kind of like a, what you would like an Anna Wintour type, I'd be like, she was amazing. She's so such an artist. Like I would just say that cursory thing. This woman was actually the real deal. So cool. And went to a fitting yesterday, which was super easy. And I thought it was going to be like very uncomfortable, but it was in like her studio with like all of her like people that are working there. And then they have like a little shop up front with some stuff. And I got to wear this like red number and then this other white dress with these boots. That's just fantastic.
Oh,
and
multiple outfits.
Yeah, because we had like a curtain call look at the end. And then so, but backstage, we had to get there at, here's how quickly I do my hair and makeup. If I'm going on stage, I can be full hair and makeup, total glam. From the time I get out of the shower to walk on stage, 40 minutes to blow dry everything. I'm fast. When I get my hair and makeup done with my team, an hour and a half, because even that's fast for me, for most people, because they are usually like, they need 2.5 hours. We were there at, our call time was 3:30. We didn't go on until 8. And I was like, I don't need to get there 15 hours early. For this. but I wasn't in charge of the day. We're there
you
for Cynthia. Like, it was kind of like, there, no one, and no one should put their foot down because we were all equals that day. Like, no one's, I'm not going to be a diva and show up at 6 when everyone else has been there since 4. But we're all getting ready in the same room. We're all just like, there's different stations and it's just like, you go here, you go there. And I realized in this process that on the fashion side of things, amazing. Treated like a princess. I love Cynthia Rowley. I love the people that she works with. It was so fun. Makeup and hair side of things, a little bit commoditized, like if that's a word. I realized I have a friend who's a model, Sarah Lena, and I always, when she talks about her days modeling, she does, and I've heard this before from other people too, is that models are just treated like objects. Like they're just objectified. Like they're talked about in front of each other. Like people will just be like, this needs to come in. Oh my God, her waist is spilling over that. This is not going to fit.
Oh,
she looks tired. Like they'll talk about you like you're a car that they're working on and you forget that you're there. Whereas as a comedian in a makeup chair, I sit down, I go, okay. So I really like a dark eyebrow with like a sharp edge on the front. I don't want them to look like little round sperms. I like eyeliner in the waterline. I like full lashes, but not too full, like false eyelashes. I like mascara on the the bottom. I do not like any kind of eyeliner on the bottom. I like a thin line on the top. I like a wing. I like really like pinky blush. I like a slight contour on chin and then cheek. I like know exactly what I want because I've been doing this forever. And I swear to God, the guy goes, wow, okay, you know what you want.
Puts his hands up like that?
Like offended because when you're a model, you just sit in a chair and you get your fucking makeup done. There's no mirror in front of you. So you can be like, can you actually just, you get your makeup done and then you don't get to look at it and go, I like it or not. You just move to the next station. And by the end of the night, Rachel had overheard someone commenting about some outfit. She'll have to tell it next time she's on the podcast. I think it's going to go in her act because she heard someone saying like, we need to find another dress for Esther. And they go, no, Esther looks great. Rachel's the pro. Like something it was like Rachel heard with an earshot, like we need to fix like, which is Rachel's biggest like fear in life is that she's like a problem. And like, and it was not the case at all. Rachel looked amazing. But like we kept all each of us overhearing little things where we weren't. Where we were like, and then the second you start feeling like a model, like the second you're like, have all your glam and you have your fucking awesome outfit that's so tight and looks so good and your shoes and you look tall and you look leggy, then in walks this model. We don't even know why they brought in a model. I don't even know what she did. She was just there to make us realize, shame you. No, you are not. No, if you were starting to think that you are a model, look over there at that woman who is a foot taller than you, 40 pounds lighter than you, wearing that thing like she was born in it, with the cheekbone, the cheek structure of, I don't know, Gollum? Like, this is, you're nowhere close to her. And they, you know, I just kept making jokes.
I came to examine these clowns.
It was weird. We don't even know why she was there. I introduced myself to her. I was like taking pictures of her because she was so pretty. She was like doing a shoot and I was behind the photographer being like, is this weird that I'm taking? Like, you're captivating and I want to like learn poses. I was making jokes. Like at one point we were backstage and there was like a bowl of mints and someone was, and the mints were all eaten. And someone was like, wow, someone liked those mints. And I was like, model dinner. I was just like making jokes like that. They did give us a really good food. They treated us awesome. I mean, it was just a really long day. And I'm not going to lie, it sets women up to be competitive when you have 7 women on a show, all comedians from different genres of comedy. We're talking sketch, we're talking stand-up, we're talking TikTok. And then you all have to do 5 minutes. And everyone who left that show was like, I like this person best. I like this person. Like, you can't go to a comedy show without ranking everyone who you liked best. And I'm not talking about my comedy shows because I have maybe 2 or 3 comics at most on them. And you're going to like me the best. You should, because I do the most amount of time. And if you like someone more than me, it's because they did a shorter amount of time and they got to do their best jokes, whereas I had to do a bunch of jokes. I had to do an hour. So this whole idea of like, I like the opener better. Oh, really?
They did 8 minutes.
He did 8 minutes. You might, maybe you should. But also maybe you just do. And not he, she, anyone. It's just like that's a common thing in comedy where you'll be the headliner and that you'll see the opener. Someone go, you were the best. And you go, oh, really? Because I did an hour and 14 minutes and he did 8. So maybe don't say that in front of me with an earshot because you know I can hear it. But you get to play like I was just
really resonated with.
But that's not he or she. I'm not talking about Andrew specifically or anyone. It's happened with Andrew. It used to happen to me as an opener. People would say it in front of headliners to me and go like, you were actually. And I'm like, I did 20 minutes and they did an hour 20. Of course you're going to like me more. I left you wanting more. But it was just like a competitive day because I went out on stage and I was like, we're models, you guys. We're models. Like, are you loving this comedy show from a bunch of models? I go, no, we're not models. We all are very deeply uncomfortable with this setting. The reason we got into this is because we're not good at this. And the whole audience was influencers. I mean, it was all fashion, but they were a great audience. It was really a great show. It was so fun. I talked about like a girl falling in a fire and how I like loved that a girl got.
Oh, I love that.
Like I did. There was a little bit of heckling going on and people kept going like, yeah, because I was like, am I hot, you guys? Like, I need to feel hot. I need to be hot. And people kept going like, you're hot. You're so, and I go, because I'm rich. And it was so fun to just scream at them and go like, it's rich or DNA. That's all it is. If you're ever jealous of someone, it's because they're rich and they can afford something you can't, or their mom was hot, or their dad had good legs. That's it. And it was just so freeing to like scream at all these trendy people to be like, stop, and scream at myself. I mean, it's honestly like, I'm telling myself, like, when I get jealous of people, I always have to remember it's because their dad or mom had good genes, or they had the money to do the certain treatment. And that's where I start beating myself up, is like, I'm not doing the right treatments. That's where I start going, oh, I need to do this and that. I want to talk about Rihanna's Super Bowl when we come back. And I also want to talk about something with Olivia Wilde that came up after the Super Bowl and get your guys' thoughts on that. So we'll talk about that when we get back.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV True Crime Podcast, To Live and Die in L.A. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world, and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am, like I am, where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how, I don't know where, I don't know what. God, if you show me, God, if you tell me, God, if, no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart's Outspoken Network for a year, and what a year it has been. Every weekday, I navigate our rapidly changing world alongside our series of fabulous expert guests. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Woke not just to the latest headlines, but also to the collective power we all have. Woke to the need to build community with those around us. Woke to how to avoid burnout, and woke to the ways we can all find joy in the madness. Make Woke AF Daily with Danielle Moody your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. And tune in to hear the ways I am working to stay grounded amidst it all. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I used to have so many men.
How this beguiling woman in her 50s.
She looked like a million bucks.
With zero qualifications.
She had a Harvard plaque.
Tricks her way past a wall of lawyers and agents.
She's got all of these Maseratis and Bentleys all in the driveway.
Is it like a mansion?
Yes, it's a mansion. That this queen of the con uses to scam some of the biggest names in professional sports out of untold fortunes.
About $6
million. Approximately $11 million.
Nearly $10 million was all gone.
Employing whatever means necessary to bleed her victims dry.
she would probably have sex with one of her clients.
Hide your money in your old rich man, because she is on the prowl.
Listen to Queen of the Con, Season 5, The Athlete Whisperer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, we're back. How did you guys feel about Rihanna's Super Bowl halftime show? I mean, we're a little late to it, but I do want to give my take.
I loved it. I love her. That's all I have to say.
She could Agreed. Do no wrong in my book.
She can do wrong in mine because I've read about her Fenty line and how it coerced people into like signing up for like way more money than like a membership. And then they like their bank accounts were drained by this thing. And then like, all her clothes are made in sweatshops. And she's a billionaire. So she's definitely done some things that are shady. And, you know, she's bullied people online that I didn't care for that kind of stuff. But man, can that girl sing? And man, that performance, if you think it was boring, you're boring. You are someone who needs too much stimulation. You're boring. Look yes. at yourself. If you thought that performance was boring, it's because you are boring. You probably, and I get it. Like there are times where I am a boring person too, that I'm like, I want more like pizzazz. We needed nothing more from her. Those stages moving were great enough. The dance sequences, dancers, even though yeah. people were joking about how she wasn't moving a lot, she fucking ended up moving a lot. Maybe she started out slow, but there, and she's also pregnant.
And she has to
sing. Singing. What the yes. fuck?
She wasn't singing, you guys.
In some parts, she was. I like, yes, there yes, were tracks.
Agreed. But there was tracks, but also she was singing over a track, but she, that which is fine. I don't even fault that when people are like, she was lip syncing or whatever. It's like, but at least she sang that live at some point recently into a microphone. And it sounded like live to me. It didn't sound like too souped up or like too many effects on it. It sounded live. So whether she did it there or another time, I don't care. It was recent enough. This girl has not performed live, to my knowledge, in like 4 years. Mm. Can you imagine the first time you perform live? And you never test out any of the, I mean, she's done so many concerts in the past, but years of being dormant is the Super Bowl halftime show, which is the biggest stage, the biggest show that you could do. I thought it was, her voice commanded enough. And you know what also commanded enough? Her fucking energy. The confidence that woman had, I've said it before about Dave Chappelle when I was watching him one time on stage. I said, that man's more comfortable on stage than I am in bed. And that's the way I felt about Rihanna. She was so comfortable. There was no part of me that was worried about her. When I watched Katy Perry's Super Bowl, I was worried. When I watched Lady Gaga, even Gaga, she's a very competent performer that makes me feel secure. I was even like, ugh. When I watched J-Lo, I was literally like having a panic attack of like, can she do like, even though she's another performer that never fails. But Rihanna, my blood pressure went down. It was just yes. like the way she was sauntering around the stage, even the moment with her Fenty beauty product where she's touching up her own makeup, yeah. which is a brilliant marketing. Like, I know that it was maybe presented to make it look like, oh, the camera switched to her too quickly and they caught her touching up her makeup. They weren't supposed to. That was for the dumbest person watching. That was who that was meant for. The dumbest person watching goes, oh, they showed her touching up her makeup. They weren't supposed to. That's literally, anyone who thought that should be, I don't want to say what I think they should, but like shouldn't procreate anymore. Like anyone who was goofed into thinking like, oh, they cut the camera too close. First of all, if they did, she would be having makeup artists do her makeup. Right. She would not be touching it up herself. So that's how I know that was put in there. But it was also a wink to like, I know what I'm doing. I'm a marketing genius. I'm putting in a moment where I touch up my own makeup on TV in the middle of my performance. What does that say to girls watching at home? Touch up your makeup whenever you want. That shameful thing of going to the bathroom to do your powder. Do it in front of the guy at the table. I just did it at the fucking Super Bowl during my performance. Never feel ashamed for doing your makeup and having makeup nearby you and having my makeup nearby you. It was genius. And then at the end when she walks in and she's just like at the, when she knows that she's in like the, she's the fucking, it's in the final stretch of the show. And she walks and she's like, you know, high fiving or like whatever she's doing with like the musicians and kind of just like sauntering around the stage confidently, like her just like having a moment with her musicians. I was awestruck And I was watching on my little phone. I watched it after the fact because I was flying when it happened. I thought it was awesome. I loved that there wasn't too much bombastic bullshit.
Yes.
I don't need to see fireworks. I don't need to see people dangling from things. I don't need to see 50 Cent hanging from a wall. I thought the Dr. Dre Snoop halftime show was bad.
Really?
Sorry. Thought it was bad. I love them. I'm not like a huge, huge fan. I thought that set was stupid. I didn't like all the, it looked like a little Barbie dollhouse. I just thought it was dumb. I thought the performances were good, but I thought the set design was dumb. And what do I know about set design? Literally nothing. So if you're watching this and you design that set and you're like, what the fuck? Literally, I'm an idiot. So I don't know anything. And I'm the only one who didn't like that performance. And I can only feel confident saying I didn't like it now that I loved Rihanna's, because now I know what I like. And I did not like that. And I remember after that happened, everyone was like, that was the most amazing thing ever. And I was like, I was bored and it felt weird. And it felt like I was just looking at these little, like a little play happening inside a dollhouse. I didn't like it.
I love the music so much that it took me back and made me feel nostalgic. And I think they were creating sets to make you feel like you're in the hood.
Compton. Okay. Yeah.
So well, it worked, but fail. Maybe the Super Bowl huge needs to be more for me. Epic.
I did not feel like I was there, but I've never been there.
ASL performer, the girl doing sign language, that was amazing.
Oh, that was so cool.
Yeah, they should have cut between her back and forth from her and Rihanna. Like that was such a good, that was like this whole other life that it was given. Okay, so I want to talk about this thing though that Olivia Wilde posted. Now Olivia Wilde, you know, was dating Harry Styles, is not anymore. They broke up. Final thought. Harry Styles, to set the stage for this, he's never really acknowledged that she's his girlfriend ever in press, even when they were dating, okay? I got a Valentine's Day thing from Chris. It's not huge, but it's a frog emoji, and that's like our way of saying I love you is a frog emoji. It's a long story, but I did get a frog emoji. Happy Valentine's Day to you too, baby. He's never acknowledged that. It made me think of that. I was like, oh, has my boyfriend acknowledged me today? So he never acknowledged her in an interview let's see if he made the deadline though, because when did this come in?
Yes, said he did. 12 p.m. by half Pacific. An hour.
12 p.m. Pacific.
Wait, he did it, not make oh, the
he did
not
no
make
he
the
did deadline. It he sent it at 1:50. He was 10 minutes okay he made it with 10 minutes to go. So I still have a boyfriend, everyone.
He's not really
that there was any consequences of that
in
deadline.
The effort.
Yeah, he sent a frog emoji, and you know what? And you know what I love about it is he didn't know. I was trying to make the frog emoji our way of saying I love you. You know how some people have like a thing like, you know, in that stupid fucking movie where Lady Gaga like strokes down her dumb fucking nose. And like that's their way of being like, love you, baby. Ugh, Star is Born. I hate that so much. But I wanted like a thing like that. The other day I sent him this frog picture that like it said on the frog. It said like, look at the left corner. Bottom left corner. And then you look down there and a little thing that says, look at the right top corner. And then you go up there and it goes, now, no, don't look up here. Look at the frog's tongue. And like very small in the frog's tongue, it says, I love you. So it has you like jumping all over this photo. And then it says, I love you. But you can't see any of that unless you look closely. And so then I sent that to him one day and he was like, I really liked that. And I was like, and it's kind of stupid. So I was like, well, that's cute that he liked it. Cause it's kind of like, I don't know. It was just like, dorky and corny. But then the other day I sent it again and then sent the frog emoji after it to be like, this is what means when I love you. So now he's connected it and I succeeded. I got a little emoji sign with my boyfriend. You know, it's the small things in life.
It really is.
So Olivia Wilde posted about the Rihanna's performance. ASAP Rocky, who is Rihanna's, I don't know, husband, but definitely boyfriend. Baby daddy. Boyfriend. He was like cheering her on, and I guess she posted a video, or all I saw was the still of it, but it was on her story, and she said, oh my God, what is the direct quote, Noah?
Okay, so she tagged Rocky and Rihanna, and she goes, if I thought he was hot before, this really put me over the edge.
Okay, so he was filming Rihanna, right? And people are savagely attacking Olivia Wilde for writing this, because she said, if I thought he was hot before, she's calling someone else's man hot. She mm-hmm. tagged him and her in it. What do you guys think about this? We're going to talk about her, what she said afterwards, which I think I know what she was doing. I don't think I think she was trying to make a point to Harry Styles, like a yes. man that supports his woman is hot. Yes. I did not have that.
It was a subtweet.
It's exactly what she was doing, because her post afterward, because people were like, how dare this bitch call Rihanna's boyfriend hot, baby daddy hot. You don't say another woman's man is hot, which I would not be bothered by that at all, Olivia. You can say Chris is hot anytime you want. What do you mean?
I mean, people do it all the time. I guess if you're a celebrity, you're not allowed to. No, a
celebrity does not publicly say someone's hot. If they, like, the other day I did an interview and I said someone was hot that has a wife. And I was mm-hmm. like, you know, on my vision board, we might end up together. And I was like, you know, because they could get divorced. You never know what happens. And I'm like literally quaking now in fear that that's going to like air and people are going to destroy me for it. Because it's like, he's married. And it's like, have you ever heard of divorce before? Like, I'm sorry. Like, and also I have a boyfriend. It's all a joke. I was just joking. I don't really have a vision board of this guy. I'm getting mad about something people aren't even mad at me about yet. So let me just back up.
Having arguments in your head.
Beep. Beep, beep. Back okay. up. So then Olivia Wilde wrote back to all these people being like, how dare you? Everyone fucking hates Olivia Wilde, okay? Everyone does. I like her. People hate her, though, because they're jealous. She's beautiful. There's a little nepotism, I think, that might be going on that people are like, that's why she's famous.
She's a former princess.
And she what?
Mm-hmm.
She's a former princess?
Yeah, she was married to a prince.
Okay. That and also Harry Styles. Women are so jealous, and she's gorgeous and perfect. They're
and
jealous
talented,
and she's a director, and she likes the limelight. She likes to be behind the camera, in front of the camera. We all hate it. She's artistic. She's cool. She like looks flawless and everything. We are jealous. Me is jealous. Okay, so that's what they're attacking her. But also, would you be pissed if someone wrote about your man? I used to think Matt Pond was hot. Now he's so hot because of how much he is loving Anya right now.
I'd be like, yes, bitch, that is hot. I get exactly what she meant.
Noah.
If I'm tagged, it's okay. If I'm not tagged, I don't know. It might get under my skin.
Okay,
Noah,
yes,
watch out. Noah's going to take her earrings out.
Well, you know what? If she didn't tag Rihanna, people would have said that. Exactly. They would have been like, why didn't you tag Rihanna? You're trying to make a pass at ASAP. No. She didn't tag but then because she tagged Rihanna, I was looking at all the comments. They were like, how fucking corny she tagged Rihanna. Like, she wants her to see that she's coming for her man. I'm like, this bitch can't win. So then Olivia, following the backlash, wrote another thing on her story. And I liked what she said because it tells you exactly what you need to know about why she posted it. She's talking about Harry, man. She did not get the support from Harry that she wanted. She wanted him to be proud of her. She wanted him to brag about her. She wanted to post about her. She wanted him to like hold up his phone. She wanted him to do the same thing that she was doing at the Harry Styles concerts, which was holding up her phone and dancing. She was captured many times supporting him from the side stage. Where was Harry during Don't Worry Darling press? We didn't see him. That's what maybe led to their breakup. Who really knows? But what did she say, Noah?
So she writes, for anyone who got it twisted, it's hot to respect your partner. Especially when your partner just did that.
Like that, like what Rihanna just did. It's not as overt as I initially thought, but I know women and I know what is going on here. This was not about A$AP Rocky. This was not about, I don't know why I keep saying A$AP Rocky. Rocky, this is not about Rihanna. And I'm saying her name wrong too. Rihanna and how she feels about her or like trying to get, it's how she feels about Harry. She's projecting. And aren't we all today? Frog emoji. Gotta get out of here. Thank you guys for listening. We will see you next week. Happy Valentine's Day, belated. Come see me this weekend. Where are we, Anya?
We're not anywhere this weekend.
Oh, I know where I'm this weekend. I'm in Vegas. So if you're a millionaire, come see me in Vegas at Steven Tyler's charity for Alzheimer's. Oh. I will be there with Sammy Hagar and John Mayer.
Oh, my God.
And loads of other people. It's a huge event that I'm doing on Saturday night. So wish me luck on that. I'll tell you about it on Tuesday's podcast. And then the next weekend, we are where?
We are in Bloomington, Newport, Kentucky, Lexington, Kentucky.
Oh my gosh. Kentucky, Indiana, get on it. Europe, that is coming up in May. Can't wait to see you guys out there. Please, besties, come to shows. I love meeting you. You can get free meet and greets if you go to the merch booth and just tell them that you're a bestie. They'll hook you up. And I can't wait to see you at a show. And thank you so much for listening. I hope you have a great day. And I hope your parents aren't emotionally unavailable. Don't be a jackpot.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are coming back to Atlanta.
Right now.
Whoa. Mark your calendars for the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts. But we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in L.A., and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart for a year, and what a year it has been. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Make Woke AF Daily your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.